You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. We love to see it, love to hear it. And guys, spring practice number two in the books. Bobby, I know that over on OnTexasFootball.com, you posted some notes there, but what y'all's takeaway from yesterday?
There was no media window availability, so I had to check in with sources yesterday. I had a couple of notes. One is that Billy Walton, a young man out of South Oak Cliff, is making some noise early in camp. Now, it is very early. The pads have not come on officially all the way yet, right? But he's making a little bit of noise. So is Jarray Bledsoe, a young man out of Bremond by way of Marland, etc. He has been doing well. And then Manny Muhammad continues to be a guy that the Longhorns, I think, are going to rely on. And then two young receivers that maybe were counted or not counted on at all or were being counted out by a lot of prognosticators like myself, thinking there were going to be four or five guys that were in that circle of trust. They're knocking on the door a little bit right now saying, hey, wait, let me in. And that is DeAndre Moore and Aaron Butler. And so they continue to have a good spring. It's only two practices in. You know, Butler could hit the wall any day. He's a freshman. It happens, right? But yesterday apparently was a good practice from him. DeAndre Moore, I'm told, was the first person out to practice for the second consecutive day. He's not going to go quietly into that good night. So a lot of different things going on. They worked a lot on special teams, I'm told, yesterday. Jerry, you know this. From the practices that we've attended, usually it's like one or two periods of special team punt coverage and punt return. They work a little bit on. I am told yesterday they did a little kick return, kick coverage as well, worked on some stuff with some gunners as well. So long story short, interesting news from the Longhorns in yesterday's practice. It's early. It's early. The pads have not come on, but those are some news and notes I think that Texas fans can put under the hat.
I'll add to that. I talked to a couple of people last night after Texas put up 56 whopping points but got a win. We'll get to that in a second. Look, I was told Texas staff extremely happy with the offensive line right now. And it's two practices in, like Bobby said, but extremely happy with the offensive line and where this offensive line looks right now, two practices into the spring. I think this is starting to be what Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian visualized this offensive line could be at the University of Texas. Very pleased with the first two practices from what I was told. Also, I hear Texas is very pleased with their running back room. But when you send the two freshmen with the guys already there, I was told there's multiple guys that Texas believes will be in the NFL out of this running back room one day. Not all on the same timeline, but Texas extremely pleased to the point of Rod Babers. May excite Rod Babers. We'll see what happens, but we may see more pony package this year from what I'm hearing. because the running backs are so good catching the ball out of the backfield on this team. That versatility opens up a completely different play calling window for Steve Sarkisian and the two back pony package stuff. John Calipari never disappoints in the tournament, Ryan. Now, so I know we have to talk Texas hoops now. Look, I mean, and I'm just going to lead in, let Blake get to something else. We'll come back to it. But no matter if you sat there last night and it was an ugly basketball game, and it was, but wins are wins. Texas won an NCAA tournament game for the third straight year. Texas hadn't done that as a program since 2008-09. It's been a long time since Texas had any NCAA tournament consistency. And if you think that's not meaningful, go to a Kentucky message board right now.
Or a Texas Tech one.
It's one of the ugliest things of vitriol you will ever see on a message board. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if you start hearing stories about Kentucky fans putting signs in John Calipari's yard and whatnot. It is straight up vitriol. So if you think NCAA tournament wins don't matter how ugly they are, and Texas has to play a lot better Saturday night against old man Rick Barnes, but they're meaningful. If you don't think they are, go read Kentucky message boards right now. It's wild.
Or just head on over to see what Texas Tech fans think right now after being housed at 80-67 by NC State last night. Hey, two quick notes I had here from you on this, Jerry. Texas, if you would have said a year ago this time, after Texas was bounced from the tourney, Final Eight against Miami, if I would have told you Texas was going to win one tourney game this year after losing Sir Jabari Rice, Timmy Allen, Marcus Carr, all of those guys, you would have taken it.
I would have taken it. Yes, because that means there's starting to be some consistency again in the program. Right. And that's the main thing. Look, I mean, Chris Beard year one was a six seed. They won they beat Virginia Tech 81-73 to get that first tournament win in a while because Shaka was over. And then they lost to three seed Purdue 81-71, right? So it's pretty much a very similar scenario for Rodney. Is they won this first game, they head into Saturday, they're a 6-point underdog. That was the opening line. I don't even know what it's at now. Tennessee's a better basketball team than Texas this year. Tennessee's 11-8 against NCAA tournament teams. All eight of their losses this season are to teams that were in the field of 68. Tennessee's not a great team at all. If you just watched Tennessee for the first time last night, you say, oh my gosh, but dig a little deeper. St. Peter's didn't shoot 40% as a team on the season. They're an awful offensive basketball team that kind of had a little hot streak to get into the tournament. But what I'm telling you, St. Peter's is an awful offensive basketball team. Just go run their numbers. All their metrics will tell you they're bad on offense. So Tennessee suffocated and choked out a team that wasn't good offensively last night. But with that being said, Texas can't go 1-14 from three and commit 10 unforced turnovers Saturday night, else they will lose and the season will be over. They have to shoot it better from three, and they can't commit the unforced turnovers. Rick Barnes isn't going to let Disu and Asemus beat him. That isn't happening. Maybe if Asemus makes some crazy 28-footers contested, he's not going to let those guys beat him. The supporting cast is going to have to come up with 40, 45, 50 points Saturday night. And that supporting cast is Weaver, Horton, Mitchell, Hunter, Caden Shedder. Rob Cunningham. Those guys have to play well Saturday night. Rick Barnes is not going to let those two guys beat him.
Hey, Jerry, poor shooting from the outside for Texas. Was it 13 or 14?
1-14.
Yeah.
Worst shooting game of the year.
I mean, Dylan Mitchell airball from 8 feet. I mean, they did not shoot well last night. Still came out with a win because of the defense. But I also want to say this, hat tip to one Brock Cunningham.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, Brock Cunningham became the winningest basketball player, individual basketball player in the history of the University of Texas. So, Jerry, to your point, talking about consistency, that has to happen. But Brock Cunningham has been part of that consistency and helped see it through.
And Brock Cunningham made two plays in the first half of that game last night. They were just straight hustle plays to get an extra shot, look at the rim, or get an extra possession. Just two flat-out hustle plays. And it largely goes unnoticed, but Colorado State was suffering from serious awfulness on the offensive end, due in large part to Texas overwhelming them athletically on the defensive end. And I just don't mean with Hunter, who had a great game defensively against Stevens, the really good guard from Colorado State, but Weaver's athleticism defensively. But also the Texas forwards, Cunningham, Mitchell, were more athletic than what Colorado State put on the floor in terms of pushing out the offense, making those guys speed up. But Cunningham made two tremendous plays in the first half to help keep that Texas run, give an extra possession, stop any chance Colorado State would have from a momentum standpoint. He's always going to make plays that go unnoticed by and large, but they're huge plays in games. And he's playing with a fractured thumb on his shooting hand, guys. He walks up to the free throw line last night and makes two big free throws to keep that lead where it was at and will make Colorado State officially have to say, tap out in the last closing seconds. But so Brock Cunningham, he's never scared in the moment. He got his flagrant. You know, look, that's what's going to happen with Brock. But that effort, congrats to him. He continues to make big plays for Texas.
Hey, Jerry, I've got to ask this because I saw this a second ago from Brian Terrell. Good morning from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm heading to pick up my spicy Chick-fil-A burrito. I haven't been to Chick-fil-A in a while. Do they have a spicy Chick-fil-A burrito now? Because that sounds really, really good.
I wouldn't know. I don't make it past the chicken nuggets.
Okay. I don't know if they have the spicy Chick-fil-A burrito in Texas. I'd like to know that, actually. So,
check that out.
Hey, guys, I want to say thank you to our sponsor on the Friday morning show, Coffee and Football, BKCW. They talk about something there called the insurance trap, and I think all of us understand it. When you own your own business or have any kind of insurance plan whatsoever, it's called the insurance trap because you get told about your rate change or about how things are changing at what seems like the very last minute. And that's what BKCW tries to take you out of. They try to give you ongoing consultation, which is particularly important for your business. So operating out of their headquarters in Austin and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, then design a plan and execute it all year long while also monitoring your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs overall and effectively manage your risk. Go to BKCW.com or send an email to info@BKCW.com to get started with a free risk assessment if you're a business owner, or you can also get a claims audit. And it, all the while, you can escape the insurance trap. That's BKCW.com. Insurance, it is an Austin-based company. You guys give them a shout.
All right, guys. One other thing that we need to touch on is recruiting. Jerry, you posted some notes over on OnTexasFootball.com as well. What's the latest there?
Well, it's actually a big visit afternoon for Texas. Brandon Brown, the Texas commit from O'Galley High there in Melbourne, he will be on campus around 1:30 today. His flight should be landing in Austin right now. He's flying in as part of that California Power 7-on-7 team organization. So Brandon Brown will be making his visit, unofficial visit. First one to Texas, by the way, along with his mother, his older sister, who's a senior down in the Space Coast area of Florida. She's going to be a D2, lower D1 basketball player. She hasn't committed yet. And then his best friend's making the trip as well. So key visit for Texas, should be on campus 4 or 5 hours today with the Texas staff. This will be the first time he's met with Kenny Baker. This will be the first time he's ever sat down in Sarkisian's office, really seen the University of Texas. The same goes for his family. So that's a big visit. Also, Matea Tongaie, I don't know, Bobby, pronounce the last name, the linebacker from San Clemente, who I think is absolutely underrated nationally, one of the best linebackers in the country, and that's saying something because Riley Pettijohn and Elijah Barnes are studs in Texas. But the kid out of San Clemente, California, has unbelievable skill set to me, and a guy that'll be 6'3", 6'4", 230 pounds one day, Great snap anticipation, really good closing speed, has some power on contact for 195-pound kid in high school, can play in space, former safety. He's going to be on campus. I think Texas is actually probably the favorite headed into the spring for him over Utah, Washington, and USC. We'll see if USC can close the gap with Anton Lynn there. But he's going to officially visit June 21st through 23rd, but on campus today. Then the third guy to watch, Josh Petty, out of Roswell, Georgia, a private school over there at Friendship High. You know, he's 6'5", 275, 280, offensive lineman. Sarkisian and Tashard Choice were by the school in January. Tashard Choice recruits the area, obviously. He's in town with that California Power 7-on-7 organization as well. So all three of those guys will be on campus for four and a half hours today. Brandon Brown, maybe a little longer than that. Depends on when their flights get into Austin. They're all coming in because there's a 7-on-7 tournament in Houston they're playing in this weekend. But those are three key visits because, look, three guys that Texas has offered. Brandon Brown obviously has got Tennessee official visit, Texas and USC in June. It's going to be a battle to the finish for him. They're going to visit. The California Power team's also going to visit Texas A&M Saturday after 7-on-7 concludes. So they're going to hit both, and that's what these guys do. They went and visited Alabama and Auburn, I believe, last weekend. They've been out to USC and UCLA when they played in the tournament out there. So that's what these kind of these 7-on-7 programs do. They get kids on campus at a lot of places. But it's a big visit for Texas and Brandon Brown because there's plenty of competition. He's got a number of family members that played at the University of Florida. Miami's still trying, Ohio State, Penn State, a lot of people are still trying there. So a big key visit. Somebody's asking if Brown plays 7-on-7. I'm going to use that term lightly. It's more of a 7-on-7 team organization. So we'll use that term lightly. But does he play 7-on-7? On some level, he does.
I want to say this. This is the point that needs to be made here. We're sitting at March 22, and Texas is bringing in today three top 150 prospects, at least three,
yeah,
that we know of right now, all from different states around the country, Florida, Georgia, and California. And we mentioned Brown a lot. And you talked about him a lot, Jerry, specifically because he's already committed to Texas and how highly ranked he is as a prospect. But the linebacker has got Johnny Nansen recruiting him,
yeah,
and he needs to be a name, even though it's tough to – hard for some people to say his name. He needs to be more on the tip of the tongue of Texas Longhorn fans because, I mean, look, to your point, Texas leads there, in your opinion. Yeah. And so I'm not saying it's done or anything like
not
that.
Not done. Nope.
Yeah, don't count your chickens. But these are not insignificant, meaningless out-of-state visits. Like we've seen. Hey, look, we've been there in the past, but this is changing at Texas, I'm telling you. The Longhorn logo means a little something right now.
To your point, Bobby, those are three player prospects that I believe will be ranked in the top 150 in the country when all's said and done. And Brandon Brown, and I mean, they could be three top 100 guys. I think Brandon Brown's a top 50 guy in the country. I think the linebacker from San Clemente may be as well at the end of the day. So we're talking about three elite prospects. And with that team, there's also two or three 2026 prospects that Texas has interest in. That'll be on campus with that California Power 7-on-7 team today.
All right, guys, we got a lot of questions to get to, plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And we got while we're talking about Brandon Brown, let's go to this super chat from Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. He says, Jerry, why is Brandon Brown so underrated by other recruiting services? His tape screams five stars, and he looks like a future draft pick. Appreciate all the great work, as always, and hook 'em.
Yeah, so it's one of those deals, I think. Look, is when he initially kind of popped onto the radar, he was listed at 6 foot, 6 foot and a half. And I don't think a lot of people that rank nationally have ever seen him in person. I don't think they've seen him. So he's an underrated recruit nationally. No doubt about it. Is he a five-star? I don't know. We got to let this stuff play out. But he's in the conversation for me. I don't think there's any way around it after seeing him in person. He's taller than you think, probably 6'1 and a half, maybe closing on 6'2. He's also young for his grade. He's 285-ish pounds. But you cannot, Bobby, you can't teach the strength in hands, natural explosiveness, power, motor to pursue the football he had, and just downright physicality. To me, he's, you know, Bob Shipley, when he was on last week, when you were on vacation, Bob, here 2 weeks ago, he compared him to Malcolm Brown from Brenham in Texas after watching the tape. I've always said a little hint of Tommy Harris athletically in there because he's just so quick and explosive for his size. I can see Malcolm Brown. I think he's that. Or look to two guys we're talking about. Or you could call him a taller Byron Murphy with longer arms if you want.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, so any way you slice it, that's the level of prospect he is. Now, he's got to go get it done. He's got to go maximize his talent and be that guy. But if we're talking about level of prospect he is, that's where everybody's coming out. So why he's ranked where he is nationally, I can't answer that other than he's just underrated right now.
We got some more super chats we need to get to, fellas. This one from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay. And he says, in the last 10 years, there were times where I questioned if some kids wouldn't have been better off somewhere else. It feels good to be past that now and know a kid will be developed to his potential here.
Bobby. I've got to say this. It's shameful that I admit to this, right? You know, as someone that graduated from Texas, has been around Texas all his life from all my adult life, there's some truth to that. There's a kernel of truth that hurts at the core.
Yeah.
Right, Jerry? I mean, that at the core really is true, because there were times when I thought they weren't being developed as well as they should be. Now, I think Sark has not only got the people in place, like Tory Becton and the coaching staff, et cetera, that are getting the most out of them physically, but it's not a merry-go-round at their position coaches. Yeah, they've had one or two coaches leave, or three or four over a three-year period, but it's not a complete merry-go-round. It's not a merry-go-round at offense coordinator and defense coordinator. Think back to all the defense coordinators Tom Herman went through, you know, over time. You know what I mean? All of those things contribute, right? And that consistency allows players and gives them a better chance, essentially, at succeeding, because they know the game. They know what they're entering into each and every day, and they can just focus on getting better. They don't need the extra hoopla. They don't need the merry-go-round of a new coach, a new system, et cetera, every week. They need consistency so they can go out and do their own jobs. And then I think you add in the culture part of what Steve Sarkisian's built, and that consistency. He is not, and I said this, he's not a yeller. And he's very honest with players. When they have those end of year meetings, he's straightforward. I don't think you're doing well. Oh, I think you need to do well. I think you can do this better. And he's not up and down. He doesn't vacillate. One day he doesn't love you, and the next day he hates you, right? And that also, it helps breed that culture of getting in and seeing players each and every, or seeing consistent ability and context for you to just go do your job. And that you can't really ask for more than that, because then it's up to you, right? One of the things we talked about at the very open of this podcast or this video is that Jure Bledsoe, let's take him as an example. Okay, Jerry, you went and saw him in high school, said he was maybe the best ball of clay, for lack of a better term, of any recruit in the class in that year. Just totally raw, but unbelievably athletic, et cetera. Okay, well, they put 40 good pounds on him now. He's almost up to 300, okay? And he's maturing. I heard from somebody yesterday that he's starting to show signs of more maturity. Well, guess what? That's because he's seeing consistency from those around him, so he's developing into a young man. I mean, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying any of these guys are, but they have to be given the tools to be that. And to that super chat's point, there were times when I didn't feel that way. When you're going from Mac Brown to Charlie Strong to Tom Herman, and Tom Herman blows up his entire defensive staff, and then, you know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
All right, Jerry, we got a question for you here from Nathan. And Nathan says, with the G League Ignite gone, is there a professional option for high school kids aside from overseas? Does this pretty much lock up Trey Johnson going to college?
That's a great question. And we do need to comment on this, because the G League Ignite going away, Adam Silver had hinted at that at the All-Star game. I spoke with somebody that works with NBA PA, NBA Players Association. They thought it might be a couple of years out, but Adam Silver and NBA are going to go ahead and pull the plug on the G League Ignite. So to your point, to answer that, look, the reality is the overtime elite league, if a kid just doesn't want to go to class and they're just not interested in college, you're still going to have kids go to the overtime elite league. They have another option, and that's before any overseas. So that's the reality of it. You still have an option. But as far as Trey Johnson goes, I've continued to hear all year that he wants to be a college basketball player. He wants that experience for a year. You know, there's that famous photo that I kind of put out when he was on his official visit with Arch Manning, you know, and there was conversations there on that visit with Arch and with other people about being a student athlete, a college athlete, at the University of Texas. Trey Johnson's always had sincere, real interest there. I'll be surprised if Trey's not at Texas next year. So Texas is going to have Trey Johnson and Cam Scott next year. They're both in the first round of the 2025 mock draft, 6'5 and 6'6 guards. I think Cam Scott's 2 years in a first round pick, but Texas has real NBA guys coming in at guard next year. It'll be interesting to see what RT does in year two.
Congrats to Cam Scott, by the way, named Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of South Carolina yesterday. So that's the guy that Jerry was just talking about out of South Carolina.
All right, guys, before we move on to the next question here, why don't one of y'all tell folks out there about Factor?
Jerry, I need a second, Blake. I need a second on that. My computer. I got you. My computer messed me up a little bit because I was just thinking of anybody on this telecaster that needs Factor meals, it's me. Eating is better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. I know I need to. 2 minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep, no messy meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. That really appeals to me. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian improved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off.
Best chicken out there.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Hey, I want to recap for people just joining us, if y'all don't mind, real quick. Texas winning yesterday in the round of 64 NCAA tournament over Colorado State, 56-44. It was a poor shooting showing for the Longhorns. They relied on their defense, though. They went 1-for-14 from behind the arc, but they did emerge victorious. And now they play former Texas coach Rick Barnes in the round of 32 in Charlotte. University of Tennessee is waiting. They are 7.5 or 6.5 point favorites over the Longhorns, by the way, in that game. Also, three top 150 recruits for the football team will be on campus later today. Jerry Hamilton just had that. A linebacker from the state of California. Brandon Brown, defensive lineman from the state of Florida, who's committed to Texas, and also a big offensive lineman from the state of Georgia. All three of those guys expected to be top 150 guys in the country. Brown already committed. Jerry saying the linebacker from California may be leaning towards the Longhorns. And then last but not least, we had Texas' second spring practice of the day yesterday. A couple of notes there for me personally. One is Billy Walton, a young man from South Oak Cliff, is starting to make a little noise, is what I'm being told. So I don't know how and when and what, but he seems ready to go a little bit more maybe than some people might have anticipated. Then you also have Jure Bledsoe, who we just talked about a few minutes ago. DJ Campbell came in at 3:32 at the start of spring. I'm being told that he's moving extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
Better than a year ago. Now, whether that's because he lost 10, 15 pounds or whatever, I don't know. But that's what I'm being told. And then the last piece is yesterday from yesterday's practice. I was told specifically that don't count out Aaron Butler and DeAndre Moore in the receiver room. They are having good early springs. Moore, for the second day in a row, was the first person to practice. They also worked almost, they worked a lot apparently on the kicking game yesterday, not only punt the punt game, but also kick and kick return.
A couple things. Yes, Ryan Nelson, CSU, Colorado State scored 3 points the last 15 minutes. They were up 8-2. And I know it's at that point, Texas fans are, oh gosh, here we go. But it was 25-3 run in the first half. But I want to set up a little bit of this Texas-Tennessee game Saturday because it's very intriguing. Rick Barnes, obviously head coach at Tennessee. Chris Ogden played for Rick Barnes on the Final Four team. I believe he was Rick Barnes' first recruit at Texas. Frank Haith and Rodney Terry were assistants 1 and 2. Associate head coach was Frank Haith, and then Rodney Terry was next man over. Then it was Russ Springman on the Final Four team. Okay, so then when Frank Haith left, and he got a head coaching job, Miami. Rodney Terry was the associate head coach under Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes said in his post-game press conference last night after beating St. Peter's, would you like to play these guys? I mean, not meaning Texas, meaning the guys he's coached with is for much of his life now. Would you like to play them in the second round? Not ideally. Tennessee's the better team, but it's so interesting what Rick Barnes said last night. He said, those guys will know how I think. I mean, so just think about Chris Ogden, recruited, played for Rick, was an assistant at Texas and Tennessee under Rick. Rodney Terry, Frank Hay. Those three guys huddle up, even though Chris is the GM of Texas basketball. He's still involved, especially in games like this. They will huddle up, and they know that guy on the other bench. Texas has a little advantage there if they shoot the ball well enough. And look, Tennessee, I think a lot of Texas fans are going to go into this game if they just watch St. Peter's saying Texas is going to get blown out. St. Peter's is a terrible offensive team. So throw that out, okay? Texas has to shoot it better. They can't commit 10 unforced turnovers. But Tennessee's not a juggernaut. They're a good team. They're not a great team. Texas can win the game if they play well. They have to play well, though. I mean, they have to shoot it better. They can't commit unforced turnovers against Tennessee. Dalton Kinnick is the tough one matchup for Texas. They don't have the traditional college wing to defend him and then go back at him on the other end. So Tennessee's not a juggernaut, but there's a lot within this game that's interesting to me. It's a fun matchup for Texas and Rick Barnes.
All right, guys. Jerry, you were telling us about Factor a minute ago. Henry James BC wants to know, is Savion Red using Factor meals?
Not enough.
Oh, Savion, you're not going to get over the 240 list until you prove it on the field, young man. That's gonna go down for a little while for him.
And then our next question, guys, from A. Mars. What's the word on the street about Brandon Baker? And thank you for the super chat, A. Mars.
Word on the street's very positive. People will say, oh, he's third team right tackle. That's a great spot to be for Texas. Let him learn, right? He's behind Cam Williams. Andre Kojo was taking second team reps that first day. And then Brandon Baker, third team. right tackle reps. He'll cross train a little bit like Texas has done with Cam Williams, but right tackle is where he played in high school, and that's probably his best position. But word on the street, word in the building, whatever you want to call it, very positive on Brandon Baker. He's gained about 17 pounds since his senior year in high school, since he's arrived at Texas. I saw him at the Bobby saw him at the pro day. So outside of practice, he was at the pro day watching all the Texas guys and Quinn go through that pro day. He looks tremendous physically. He may never be Kelvin Banks size, like 320-ish, but he may be 315. I mean, he may not be.
I bet he gets bigger than Kelvin.
He might.
He's got a little body. His body's apportioned differently.
Yeah, it's different
than Kelvin. That's why I would say that, Jerry. I walked right by Brandon Baker. He was hanging out with some of the other freshmen at junior day. Dude, you talk about an impressive looking group of freshmen. Just looking, you're like, these guys looked apart. Brandon Baker, you know, I don't have to say what's the behind the scenes thing. I saw him. Oh, Kenny Baker. Brandon Baker looked like a million bucks.
Yeah.
He's a dude. I was sitting here, we talked about this yesterday or the day before, Jerry, I can't remember which, how you and I kind of went through the roster and we're saying, we think better than 50-50 chance this guy's going to play NFL football, right?
Yeah.
And I counted up, I think it was 32. I counted again this morning before we got on air. Brandon Baker was one of those because he looks the part.
Yeah.
I mean, and even as a freshman, I'd say better than 50-50 shot. Kenny Baker behind the scenes.
So I took a photo. We're going to see if Blake can pull this up on short notice. I took a photo at Pro Day, which is probably the best photo I got at the Pro Day. It was while the players were warming up, about to start their testing port. Maybe they've already done bench press. It was after bench press before they started doing position drills. And I was just walking around, and Kenny Baker was talking technique with Sadir Mitchell. Sadir Mitchell was at Pro Day, right? So some people are like, well, is Sadir even working hard? So here's Kenny Baker. This was during the Pro Day. And you see Savea behind, by the way. That's Savea. But that's Kenny Baker coaching up Sadir Mitchell on technique during Pro Day. So what's the early returns on Kenny Baker? I think they're really positive. On the recruiting front, coaching front, I think he's a tremendous pass rush coach at the interior defensive line position. But look, he's gonna be impressive as a coach. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So the early returns are very good on Kenny Baker.
It was my first time seeing Savea. Okay, I thought he was a 35-year-old scout. Pull that back up again. That picture back up, Blake. Savea is the bearded guy in the back. See him? Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I thought he was a scout. I thought that was a Raiders because the scouts show up in shorts and whatever they want to show up in with their hoodies. When I first saw him, I thought he was a scout. He looks like he's 35, guys. Yeah. I'm just telling you now.
So people are making fun of Sadir's body language in that photo. It's just when I took the photo. Right before I took the photo, Sadir was literally asking Kenny Baker technique questions. So Sadir was very much engaged in that. It's just when I took the photo of it. But Sadir just got finished asking Kenny Baker some technique questions, and Kenny Baker went right into it with him. So they're having a very positive conversation there.
Hey, guys, let's go to this question from Pinkman90. He says, what are we hearing about Neto and Cam Williams?
Yeah, so somebody asked a different question as well. Somebody, is there a world where Trevor Goosby beats out Cam Williams? No, Trevor Goosby's left tackle. Right. Yeah. Trevor Goosby's at left tackle. Cam's at right tackle. I think long term, you know, it's up to Andre Kozier to hold off Brandon Baker for the number two right tackle spot. But I think everything I hear, Bobby, very positive on Cam Williams. You know, look, there's still a go get it done in game element with him. He started one. That's really the only time he's really played extended snaps at right tackle. But so you got to go get it done on Saturdays. But the early returns are very favorable for Cam Williams. And inside the building, they think he's a future draft pick. And that's never really changed. He was just on a different developmental timeline and playing behind another guy that's going to get drafted.
A future high draft pick. Categorize that. You know what I mean by that, Jerry? He is he's the most impressive physically looking offensive lineman on the team. And that includes Kelvin Banks, just so you know. I mean, he is significantly bigger than Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.
I mean, they could stand next to each other, and you could cover their faces so you couldn't see their facial features, and you would see just how much bigger. I mean, the thing that was impressive about me, when Cam first came to Texas a year ago, when I went out there to practice, he had some baby fat, you know, 2 years ago. He had baby fat. He was a little overweight, et cetera. He doesn't look overweight now, Jerry.
Right.
He looks sleek. A sleek 360, whatever, a 370. It's ridiculous. I mean, these guys are super. There's large humans, and then there's these guys, in my opinion. As far as Neto is concerned, I watched him do a couple of combo blocks on Tuesday morning. He just looks quick. He looks active, and he plays. He practices angry, Jerry. Yeah. Or at least he was on Tuesday. So that stuff that you saw against Oklahoma, or you saw in certain times of certain games last year, that's not abnormal. That's just him. Yeah. So he wasn't putting on a show. I'll put it that way. That's who he is.
Somebody asked about LinkedIn Cure, the tight end from Kansas. He is scheduled to be on campus as well with California Power.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
There you go. Before we move on, Bobby, tell folks out there about our newest sponsor, Autograph.
Yeah, absolutely. Autograph, we've talked about it. It's the Tom Brady app, sponsored app that goes out there and collects information for people and from various news sources and actually aggregates them all in one place. We're right in the thick of March, which means the tournament is upon us and spring football is here. Now, let's be real. How many hours do you spend watching, reading, and listening to our coverage of the Longhorns and that of others? Think about that for a second and ask yourself, what if there was a way to get rewarded for doing it? I mean, there are hundreds of credit card and online airline points programs, but what if there was one where you get points for showing your Texas Longhorn fandom? If that sounds even remotely appealing, then you have to join us on the Autograph app. The Texas community on the Autograph app has all of your favorite Longhorn coverage, including ours, all in one place, making it easier than ever to stay on top of everything. Plus, each time you read, watch, listen, and share your favorite content on the app, you earn fan coins, which can be used to unlock exclusive rewards at prices not found anywhere else, like $16 tickets to some of the biggest college basketball games this season. Scan to down the free Autograph app in the Apple App Store and use referral code on Texas. That's referral code on Texas. Join us and see where your fandom takes you.
Rob Enfield says 162 days until kickoff. There's your comment of the day, right? 162 days until kickoff. Somebody's asking about in the chats, asking about Cedric Baxter. Still 218. I actually ran into Ced at Pro Day there Wednesday in the bubble. 218, different looking 218, definitely a stronger looking 218. He said his goal is to be 225-ish, 222-25 by the start of the season.
He looked good, Jerry.
He looks good.
Exactly. See, this is what we were talking about development 20, 30 minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. They come in a little, and we talked about Cam Williams in the same way. Cedric Baxter, and Rod uses the term armor. They need to build their armor up, right, as they get older. That's what he's doing right now. He's repositioned. If you saw him on a football field right now and you had only seen him last year, okay, he looks fundamentally different. He's got more muscle tone, and so you know he's starting to put on good weight.
Yeah,
it's not just weight. That's the difference right now with Cedric Baxter. So he's going to look actually thinner. He will look thinner to the naked eye, but it's because it's becoming more chiseled weight.
Correct. Yeah, totally agree.
And let's stay with that for a second here. Corey J wants to know, will Cedric Baxter and Blue have a similar rotation to what Bijan and Rojo had?
I don't think so.
I think it's going to be more 50-50. Because I think the two guys are more close in. I love Roshan Johnson. And it was clear, by the way, Steve Sarkisian loves Roshan Johnson in that press conference, Jerry. He talked about him in just very high tone. I think it's going to be more 50-50. And the reason I say that is because I think those two guys are closer in ability than Bijan and Roshan. Love Roshan as much as I do. Bijan was a super freak, right? You had to make him an A1 bell cow that got the majority of whatever you're going to give. Blue is a little bit better out of the backfield. There's no doubt. I mean, frankly, Bijan Robinson was better than Roshan Johnson as a runner and out of the backfield, right? It's a little bit different with Ced Baxter and Jaden Blue. You agree with that, Jerry?
Yeah, I think so. Inside zone run scheme is still going to kind of take precedence. Yep. And I think Cedric Baxter will have the most carries, touches of the running backs next year, assuming he's healthy. But I do think Blue has an increased role, but that increased role is going to be in what he does well. I don't think they're in a square peg round hole him.
Yep.
All right, guys, we have a super chat here from Gray Man. Thank you, Gray Man. He says, what's the scoop on Samaje Burrell? He was the stud in the All-American game and plays through the ball carrier. Any chances he cracks the 2 deep?
Look good. I mean, he was another guy that I thought looked good on Tuesday physically. Yes. 6 foot, 225, maybe 5'11 and a half. But height doesn't matter for linebackers. I mean, not inside guys. I mean, there's 10 NFL starters that are 5'11, 6 foot that is inside linebackers. It's the weight and the way you carry yourself and the way you can react. I think this is a huge, absolutely huge year for LaFau and Burrell. You agree with that, Jerry?
Yes.
One or the other. Let's see what happens because one's going to be ahead of the other. And I feel like those guys will get some time. Thankfully, I think they both still need time. And thankfully, David Benda came back because I mentioned this the first day out at spring ball. I thought David Benda, I would have never thought after watching him as a sophomore, maybe early into his junior year, that David Benda would keep progressing like he has. I'll put it that way. I mean, he has gained some, he's become more chiseled and more will that translate to the field for him in key situations? Can he cover crossing routes? That's a different question for us, right, Jerry? But I think he's one of the leaders of the team potentially, if you want to be frank about it. And he cares about Texas football. You ask about that kind of stuff. I think he really genuinely cares a lot.
And then let's stay on the defensive side here. David Williams says Alfred Collins nor Vernon Brunton are no tackles. Based on the current roster, they're the two best defensive tackles. Would Texas start them as defensive tackles lined up between the center and two guards?
The only thing I'll push back on a little on that is I think Savea is better than Broughton. So I think Alfred Collins and Savea are your two best DTs. But then go from there, Bobby, on your thoughts.
I'm not so sure Jerry Bledsoe doesn't end up in that discussion by the end of this.
No doubt.
Just based on what I'm hearing, because he is that kind of athlete. You're exactly correct that they're both defensive. They're three techniques. They're not zero techniques. That's why Sadir Mitchell's improvement or development is so important and was somewhat disappointing. Over the offseason. It's why Alex January, who was a zero technique long-term, in my opinion, is important to this team. It's why the transfer portal is going to be really important if Texas wants to go somewhere this year. I'm not saying they can't win 9 or 10 games without a zero technique, okay? A true big-time one that has that's a junior or senior in college. But they need one. They need one badly. And it needs to be they don't need more three techniques. They need more zero techniques.
Speaking of three tech, James Henson wants to know, Is Dre Bledsoe looking good? Is he viewed as a three tech?
Yeah, three or a five. He's that athletic. So that's why when we talk, it's very similar. Like Alfred Collins' natural position is probably a three or a five, right? Dre Bledsoe's natural position is probably actually a three or a five, too. But he's even more athletic, in my opinion, than Alfred Collins. And this will be shocking. I think he's quicker than Alfred Collins. Which,
yeah,
Alfred, if you saw Alfred at his very best, you know he's quick.
Yeah.
Dre Bledsoe's quicker than Alfred Collins.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll stand on the table, keep standing on the table. Pound for pound, Dre Bledsoe's the best athlete in the program. That's the level athlete you're talking about, 6'3", 6'4", 295 pounds.
Aaron Butler may be there in that category, too, just based on what I'm hearing as far as athleticism. Not necessarily speed.
Zane Petty says, "Well, Alex January played 20 to 30 snaps at zero or one tech this season. He looks great in pictures."
Boy, I think that I love him as a player and I love him as a prospect. And I know he wants to play that many snaps probably and would love it. I don't necessarily think that's what's best for the football team. That's what I'm getting at. Like, I think Alex will be one of those rare guys that is truly ready to go as a true sophomore or redshirt freshman. Like, truly. He'll be able to be a frontline guy by then. I don't know that you want to do that to a true freshman out of the gate. That's my – I love him as a player. I think that he's a future – I mean, I wouldn't have said this when he committed to Texas. I think he's a future NFL player. It's just – man, what's best for him? And that's what has to find figured out. Now, it's not going to hurt his development if he plays, but it might. It's just not ideal for Texas.
We're going to stay on the defensive tackle talk for just a second here. Fresh 6473 says, "Do you guys believe that if Collins and Broughton have a great 24 season and they're projected to be a first or second pick in the 2025 draft, would that help get elite defensive tackles to come to Texas?"
Well, I mean, I guess my opinion is on that is I think Alfred Collins will be a drafted player just because the NFL is going to see him and say, okay, he's worth investing in with that frame and all that talent, right? It's up to him this season to see where that can go for him. Can he vault up to a third or fourth round pick? We'll see. He's got to be a lot more consistent of a player. In his final year. I'm not sure Vernon Broughton's an NFL draft pick necessarily. That would actually be a surprise to me. But look, I think winning period. I mean, the guys getting drafted in the first and second round this year, I think is big, is huge. That's more important than anything else. And look, I mean, Texas is the season they had last year is going to get a lot of kids to campus. And that's more important than anything right now for me is Texas is getting many, many more prospects to campus to really have in-depth evaluations on outside of tape and in-person at the school than in years past under Sark.
And then Joe wants to know what happened to Tapp, Jamon Tapp.
He's still out there. Nothing has happened to him yet. We got to wait till the pads come on, man.
Yeah,
I will say the reason why you got to remember, I mentioned Billy Walton early, and he's a little bit younger than Jamon. Jamon's a third year player. Billy's only a second year player. So let's see what happens when the pads come on.
And speaking of that, Bobby, when do the pads come on? What day do the pads come on, David Rawls?
Yeah, I think it's either tomorrow or Monday. All right, tomorrow or Tuesday, I believe. So those are the days. Not exactly sure.
Okay, guys. Well, it is time for me to tell everybody out there about Chinook Cedary. And baseball season's here, which means you have to have the essentials ready for those 9 innings of fun. And by that, I mean sunflower seeds. They're a must when it comes to baseball, and Chinook Cedary has you covered. With 8 unique flavors to choose from, you'll definitely find a flavor you love, whether you're taking them on a camping trip, to the ball game, or even on the wide open road. Chinook has crafted the best tasting sunflower seeds on the planet, and their unique flavors are made from real foods and real spices. That means real Parmesan cheese, authentic Hatch chilies, and freshly harvested dill. Whether you're actually in the game or just watching it, grab a bag of Chinook. You can find them in your favorite store, or you can order online by going to ChinookSeedery.com and seeds the day with Chinook.
And a Texas-based company, Blake?
Yes. Texas hosting Baylor this weekend. I think first pitch tonight at 6:30, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, tomorrow, I think at 2:30, and then Sunday, 1 o'clock. I do know that one for sure. But what immediately stands out to me this week after talking to a couple of people is there seems to be a real confidence in Ace Whitehead on the mound, which is very interesting. So he's actually going to get the start on Saturday, and he has the lowest ERA of the three weekend starters. That includes LBJ, who is going to start tonight. And then on Sunday, it's going to be Max Grubbs who will get the start on the mound. As far as Baylor goes, they're really not that good. I mean, they're 7-13 overall. They did take the series from Texas Tech last weekend, but then they turned around and lost 18-3 on Tuesday night against Sam Houston. So I don't know, guys. To me, what I'm curious to see is the Air Force series. Was that a turning point in the season? Was it fool's gold? There was a real gritty come from behind win on Tuesday night. Wednesday, they followed it up with another big win. So I'm just curious to see if that's going to be the turning point in the season.
So Ace Whitehead is now the number two starter, basically, behind LeBaron Johnson.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, last year you saw him pitch a little bit. Saw him out in the outfield as well. Same at the first of this year. But he's getting his big moment on Saturday. Hey, you
got to say this. You mentioned, thanks for that, and thanks to Chinook Seedery for their sponsorship. You mentioned, Blake, Sam Houston.
Yep.
I was at lunch yesterday with some guys, some folks that listened to the show, and they actually told me something I didn't know because I was so tied into Pro Day and the SEC schedule release and the two practices. They told me that Texas has scheduled Sam Houston State for a football game in 2025. I was like, what? And they were like, oh, you're supposed to know. You're the... Like, I didn't even know. And long story short, Texas plays Sam Houston State in 2025. Sam Houston State going up from FCS to FBS. So Texas still in Chris Del Conte, not taking the bait and going down a level and playing, you know, UT Chattanooga or Abilene Christian or Prairie View. Sam Houston State's actually moving up, and they will be part of that off-season or the preseason pre-conference schedule for the Longhorns in 2025. Happy to see the Bearcats come to Austin.
Want to mention this as well, Blake. Texas women's number one seed play at 2 p.m. today against Drexel, 19-14 Drexel. And a lot of times those 116s get very ugly on the women's side. But then after Texas beats Drexel today, they'll play the winner of FSU and Alabama on Sunday in that round of 32. Both games, obviously, in Austin. Texas is hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament before moving on to regional site, hopefully. After this weekend, Texas women's number one seed gets it going at 2 p.m. today.
I saw some of the Alabama women on campus a little bit yesterday, by the way, Jerry, when I was walking around. They were looking around, looking like a basketball team.
They were looking for Bond and Nyblack. They're old buddies. I heard Isaiah Nyblack and Blackshaw are here. Where can I find them?
They were looking for Kendrick Blackshaw too, by the way.
Oh, hey, and by the way, Michael Huff, I saw this morning, if you're a UT student, he is paying for your tickets. All you got to do is have your student ID, show up for the women's game today. And then he's also going to do the same thing on Sunday. He said when they win. He didn't say if they win. He said when they win, he'll do the same on Sunday as well. So very cool of Michael Huff.
That's awesome. I mean, good for Michael. I mean, good for the University of Texas to have and to help somebody like that along the way, and then he's giving back. I love that. That's great stuff, Michael Huff. Yeah, kudos to you, man. And way to support. Hey, Madison Booker threw out the first pitch at the baseball game the other day. I mean, I like the camaraderie that's going on right now at Texas. And Steve Sarkisian on Tuesday, Jerry, his very first comment when he went to the podium wasn't about the first day of spring practice. It was good luck to Rodney Terry and Vic Schaefer and their play. I like the camaraderie going on the campus right now. The coaching staff seem to be supporting each other. Chris Del Conte, I think, has that thing. Just it's moving in the right direction.
Hey, let me ask
good morning, UT boy, by the way. Good morning.
let me ask you this, Bobby. You know, when we had Kat Osterman on the show many months ago, she talked about that camaraderie between, you know, all the teams and what a time it was to be on the 40 acres with everybody being successful. Do you think that kind of fell off over the past decade and it's just now rebuilding back to that point?
A little bit, because I tell you who fosters that as much as anybody is the athletic director. And Steve Patterson was not much of an athletic director. He was a bean counter, right? So when DeLoss left, DeLoss fostered that relationship, but DeLoss really, I love DeLoss to death, but he was extraordinarily good with big money folks. He, to this day, they revere him at a level that is just impressive for any man. And DeLoss was a good athletic director. He wasn't just a bean counter. Steve Patterson kind of broke that. He broke that camaraderie and that bridge, in my opinion. And Mike Perrin was only an interim athletic director, so he didn't have experience doing this. What Chris Del Conte does with his all staff meetings, even though these guys all know, and the other thing is great. I mean, Vic Schaefer knows Rodney Terry has it tough. Steve Sarkisian knows that Jarrett Elliott, the basketball coach, or Angela Kelly, the soccer coach, they all know they have issues. I mean, this is Texas. It's a fishbowl. Win or you're out, basically. And they support each other. I think, you know, Del Conte deserves some credit for that. I really do, because Chris, you know, it's a great time on the 40 acres right now. They've made this Director's Cup into a thing that they can all be proud of. Even if you're if you go out in the round of 32 in basketball, at least you contributed some, right, Jerry?
Yep.
Softball, Mike White and those guys, same way. I think that they – I don't think it's always been that way, and I think it did get severed when probably late DeLoss era. That's unfortunate but true.
You don't have to bring up the question, Blake, but I was just agreeing with James Manning. You're absolutely correct on that.
All right. We got a question here from Jameson Washington, and he asks, who will make the circle of trust on the defensive rotation, and which position do you see having the most people in that rotation?
Man, that was a big circle of trust last year, Bobby. I expect there to be a lot of rotating again defensively. I haven't heard anything different in that regard, right? Texas is going to play a lot of players on defense. Even Sark in his February signing day press conference, even though he didn't sign anybody, it was more of a kind of almost a state of the union for Texas football in a weird way. He talked about moving to a 12-team playoff and Texas's expectations of being in that playoff, that they're going to play more guys. Their depth is going to be it's going to be more important to build depth, not just in practice, but in game. I think you're going to see Texas rotate a lot defensively. I don't think anything's going to change, Bobby.
I don't either. I think they're going to do it. I do think that they have more guys to rotate at defensive end now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, if you're looking for increased rotation, I think you'll see. I don't think you're going to see more rotation at safety. I think you may see better rotation. I don't think you'll see more rotation anywhere other than defensive end, to be fair.
Okay, this next one here from Ryan Nelson. Who's going to make the need to have it play in the big games? That is unproven. He personally thinks it's going to be Isaiah Bond.
Bond's made him a lot of them in his career.
Yeah.
He made one of the biggest ones in Alabama history, right, last year.
Yeah. I would go I'm going to say Quinn Ewers, because he's going to have to deliver the ball in some spots this year. And the windows will get tighter in the SEC because the DBs will be better. Remember that. Yep. Going to be tighter windows in the SEC.
I think Nye Black's going to make big plays in the passing game.
I think a lot of talk. Hey, Jerry.
I think he's an X-factor.
Jerry, you mentioned this. Let's talk about that for a second, okay? And breathe that out a little bit, because you and I both we pontificated that. Rod Babers did as well, CJ, et cetera, right? Nye Black opens it up differently because, look, the testing numbers, the NFL Combine and the Texas Pro Day verify what we said about JT Sanders. Not an explosive athlete, right. A good player, though,
yep.
Right? Amari Nye Black is an explosive athlete who hasn't been as good a player yet. So that presents a different opportunity for the Texas staff. You heard something the other day that you share with me. Share with folks that you heard about Nye Black.
I mean, I think that he excites Texas as much as any player on the offense headed in the spring practice. Just his difference maker speed, what he can, you know, look, he's a wide receiver playing tight end. I mean, that's what he is in the college game. Not that he's going to be a tight end on the next level, but he's a wide receiver athlete. At 6'3", 220, 225, whatever he is, playing tight end. He is a walking mismatch. He has electric, explosive speed. Look, Texas fans saw it last year. Explosive speed down the field. But there's a thought that what he's going to unlock in this offense is more than what I think the average fan's thinking right now.
Okay, y'all. Before we move on, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about BKCW one last time.
Yeah, our friends at BKCW have been really good to us, and we appreciate them. They just re-upped for another few months here with us. We appreciate them so much. BKCW Insurance helps you get out of the insurance trap. Your business often does not get the consultation it needs. Insurance agents go to you the minute before you're going to renew your insurance and say, oh, there's been a rate hike, or we don't cover this anymore. You're going to have to pay extra. Well, BKCW doesn't let that happen to you because they have an ongoing relationship with you and worked with you throughout the entire year to make sure you don't get caught empty-handed at the very last minute. BKCW has helped some of the most well-known construction companies, restaurant groups, breweries, even on Texas football, and nonprofits in Central Texas escape the insurance trap. And it all starts with a free risk assessment. Go to bkcw.com and send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started with a free risk assessment or claims audit and escape the insurance trap. Or remember, don't let an insurance agent just call you the minute before you're supposed to renew. Get the most out of your insurance dollar for your company.
So, somebody asked, could Nye Black be what Sark thought Billingsley would have been? I think two totally different guys. I think Billingsley was more of a stopgap guy is what the thought was for a year. I think the thought on Nye Black is explosive. Going to unlock everything in this passing game for Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah,
I think Billingsley was a hope, though. I think they wanted Billingsley to be that, Jerry.
We have a super chat here from UT Boy. Thank you, UT Boy, for the super chat. He says, hook 'em. Who's world? Jerry, I'm going to let you answer.
Based on the chat, it's his world. Not Jonte, UT Boy's world. So it's UT Boy's world in the chat. And it's Jonte's world to answer the question.
And we're going to talk about Jonte for just a second from Emmanuel Villarenko. He says, I love Jonte, and we all know about his wide receiver training. But what's his deceleration and acceleration level at? What's his ceiling? How fast is he really? Is he draftable in a couple of years? Okay.
He's a draftable prospect in a couple of years with production. Yes. I think route running is actually one of his strengths. I think DeAndre Moore is the smoothest route runner Texas has, but look, anybody that's worked with Margin Hooks for multiple years is a really good route runner. So I think Jonte understands how to set things up. He understands how to accelerate, decelerate, and get back the top end quick. Margin Hooks does a great job training those guys with the nuances, the wide receiver position. So he's got all that. Jonte's whole next level is that consistency, catching the football, pre-snap, which is the big thing now. Ryan Wingo, that's the big test he's going to pass for Sark, is can you be depended on pre-snap in a complex offensive scheme for wide receivers? But, yeah, Jonte's got that ability. How fast is he? He was more of a long jumper, a jumper in high school, and that's not a negative. I think he probably ran 10.8 in high school. I don't think you would have ever seen him run in the 10.6, 10.7 area, Bobby.
He is not a speedster in the typical form of a Xavier Worthy.
Right.
Okay, so let's take that one off the table. But he is a sub-4.5 guy, in my opinion.
Yes.
The question I have is, the guy that is most similar to Jonte right now on the roster, you would think it's Isaiah Bond, but it's not.
Matthew Olden.
Isaiah Bond is more of a true, legit vertical threat, period. He is a jet. Isaiah Bond has some stockiness to him and all that stuff, but he's a jet. The guy that's closest to Jonte from a player perspective, in my opinion, is Aaron Butler. Because talk about guys that can decelerate and get in and out of cuts quickly. Aaron Butler can do that.
Yeah.
I think that guy might end up being somebody that competes as well. But Jonte's a year ahead. Jonte is well-trained, and Jonte cares about football. You can say what you want, but that dude works hard. I think Jonte's got a real chance to make a dent this year and catch 40, 50 balls.
Hey, we have time for just a couple of more questions here. And Archmania says, this team is really stacked with top-tier talent in every position group. That being said, which group has the most to prove on both sides of the football?
Interior defensive line for me. Offensively, Texas is loaded. I think it's going to be right tackle because it's the one position that lacks the most in-game experience. Cam Williams, future draft pick, but he started one game in his career against Kansas State. So that's he has a lot to prove on Saturdays. What we see, what we hear is one thing. He's got to go prove it on Saturdays, a first-time starter. Defensively, it's interior D-line, Bobby, and if you name the second position, it'd be corner depth.
Yeah, I don't think there's a second. I think they're loaded, dude. I think it's defensive tackle, and I'm not as worried about right tackle as I am left guard. That's me. I'm not worried about – hey, going into this offseason, I was a little worried about tight end, and then they got Nyblack to go with Helm. Not worried about that. I was worried about safety, but I'm not worried about safety now because they got Makuba. They moved Jelani McDonald back there. I'm not worried about corner, Jerry, because, Malik – The feedback we're getting on Manny Muhammad is outstanding kind of stuff, like next level NFL trying to dig into the tape type stuff.
I'm not comparing him because this guy may be a Hall of Famer, but it was what I was told about Earl Thomas is that the film room was so important to him. It's the same way with Manny Muhammad. And again, I'm not comparing the player and the career. All I'm comparing is the understanding of the film room and how much time they spend in preparation.
It's impressive based on what me and Jerry have heard.
Okay, let's see here. Kyle says, Bobby, you've mentioned that Chris Del Conte wants 7 home games every year, but in 25, won't they only have 6?
Yeah, because OU is OU is in Dallas, and the Fox deal they made to get out of paying anything in the Big 12 exit required them to go to Ohio State. So it's a unique year.
All right. And then one more question here, and if I can find it. Javier says, in your opinion, which Texas quarterback threw the prettiest ball? He believes Chris Sims. He threw a beautiful spiral. But what say you guys?
I mean, Chris Sims is a good answer to who threw the best ball in my years covering Texas. I don't think there's any doubt about it. That ball, he had the tightest probably rotation on a football if you like, if you did all the metrics on it. I think he also threw slant seams. I thought those were tremendous throws. I thought Chris, I agree with that person actually, Bobby. You may disagree because Colt McCoy's accuracy in changing ball speeds was very high end, but vertically, Colt wasn't ever a great thrower of the football.
No, and I will add this. Chris Sims was also slower to throw the football. And I'm not talking about mentally slower. He had a longer release than Colt. Yep. I would say if you included it all right now, I'd say the two guys on campus and Colt were probably the three best that also have a quick enough release. Like Quinn's release is faster than Chris Sims's.
Right.
You know, and he changes speeds better than Chris.
Okay. Well, before we get out of here, guys, anything that y'all are working on coming up maybe later today or over on TexasFootball.com, anything like that people should be aware of?
Absolutely. Actually, at 1 o'clock, we have the live stream this afternoon. We've got I put up some news and notes from yesterday's practice on Texas Football. Please check that out. And we also have some other stuff coming up over the weekend. The Texas Coaches Clinic, don't forget, is this weekend. Sean McVay will be in town, the Rams head coach. He'll be speaking. Then also we have some other stuff going on as well. You have a bunch of recruits on campus. Jerry mentioned that earlier in the show. Three top 150 players from out of state on campus today. I think between 1 and 6 or 2 and 6, something like that, Jerry. So we'll be having that and following that. Make sure Brandon Brown and those guys got on campus, et cetera. So we got a lot of stuff going on. It's that time of year, basketball game at Moody with the women, et cetera. So fun time to be a Longhorn fan, baseball against Baylor. It is what it is. It's that time of year. Spring sports along with spring football.
That's right. And women's basketball, of course, here in just a couple of hours. Big game, softball, baseball, everything going on, as Bobby said. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. I want to thank them for sponsoring along with Factor, Autograph, and Chinook Cedary. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for more coverage anytime that you need your Longhorn fix. And then if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime and every time that we post a video, go live, whatever it may be. And thank you all for tuning in. So
hey, Blake, I have one last thing. If you're listening on a podcast and not just on YouTube, do us a favor and please give us a good rating. I know that sounds weird, but if you're listening on podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you may listen to podcasts, somebody had asked me about that. So give us a review if it doesn't have to be always good. Tell us what you're thinking.
Okay, guys. Well, we will be back Monday. The guys will be back, of course, over the weekend. Lots of videos and then later today as well. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you then.
Hook 'em.